everyone, and welcome back to our evening services. Welcome everyone back. Hopefully it wasn't raining where you were. It was where I was. But we need that as well. So we're glad everybody's here. Hope you're having a good holiday weekend. It's been safe and enjoyable for you so far. No better way than to finish it out here with brothers and sisters in worship. Song isn't in your book, it'll just be on the screen. Following this song, we'll have our opening prayer.
Down. pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, the Most High God, our shield, our rock, our protector, we come to you giving thanks for rain and sunshine and for all the blessings you showered upon us, and sometimes even the things that have not been pleasant but are for our benefit. In all things we praise you. We are so grateful for the love you've displayed in Jesus and in his sacrifice. Your love stays with us. In spite of all our failures and shortcomings, your love is always there. Help us hold on to that, wrap our arms around that, and may we always love you to the best of our ability. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Scripture reading this evening will come from Psalms chapter 121. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. We do have children's story time this evening if you want to dismiss your children at this time. I'll be reading from Psalms chapter 121, entire chapter. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
Good evening. Thank you so much for being here this evening. A lot of other places that you probably could be, but you have chosen to be here in the house of God. So thank you so much. If you're visiting with us, you are our honored guest. So thank you. Those of you watching online, thank you as well for being with us. A few moments ago, Scott read from Psalm 121. We heard the words, I lift up my eyes, my help comes from the Lord. There are moments when we do not know what to do, but Scripture is very clear and reminds us where we can look. Life has manageable seasons where times seem okay, everything's going pretty smoothly, maybe the kids aren't fighting as much, but there's also seasons of life that are challenging, where we experience grief, anxiety, depression, financial stress, spiritual weakness, and maybe so many other things happening at once. Sometimes we are doing everything that we can to keep moving, and quietly in ourselves, we admit to ourselves, we do not know what to do. A few weeks ago, I did a short devotional on King Jehoshaphat in Judah, and they were facing this horde of an army that they knew they had no chance. They had no chance to defeat, and King Jehoshaphat says one of those very same lines. He prays a prayer, and in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, this is what he says. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I do not want to preach this same lesson again, but I do want to take the next step and ask, well, when we are in these times, what has God given us to find encouragement in? What has God given us to help us through these difficult times to keep our eyes on Him? So for the next few minutes, I want us to think about these four things, these four points that I have that God has given us to help us through different seasons of life. He has given us a Savior in Jesus Christ to look to, a Word to stand on, a Father to speak to in prayer, and a family to walk with. So this lesson, I want to make sure that you do not hear me say that if you do these four things or if you improve on one of these things, that all of your difficult circumstances are going to go away, because if you can hear my voice, you know that is not true. Faithful Christians will experience grief, depression, exhaustion, uncertainty. But our hope is always in God. And Scripture shows us that God often strengthens us through Christ, through His Word, through other people, and prayer. So our first point that I would like us to take a moment to look at is that we can look to a Savior. We have hope found in a person, not merely found in positive thinking that, you know what, as long as I think positively, I can figure this out, or I am strong enough to get through this certain situation, or maybe if I just try a little bit harder, things will be better. And all of that is great, and I encourage you to think that way. But our hope is ultimately found in a person, Jesus Christ. If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. That's where we will start this evening. And we're going to see a section of Scripture here where Jesus is talking to individuals that are weary. They are heavy laden, and He knows. And He has a very specific answer for them and what they need to do. Chapter 11, and we'll begin in verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the ancient world, this yoke represented a lot of things, and if you're familiar with farming, you understand the idea of a yoke, but it also has this idea of this, represents this submission, service, a specific way of life, and Jesus is inviting them into this way of life, to take his yoke, to learn from him, to follow him, to be his disciple. And he says, if you do this, I will give you rest. In him, they find rest for their soul. Jesus does not say, come to me when you have it all figured out. Come to me when you're a little bit stronger in your faith. Come to me when you're a little bit more prepared. Come to me when you're more organized. He says, come to me. Even when life feels too heavy, Jesus understands our sorrows as well. In Gethsemane, in Matthew 26:38, Jesus says, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. He understands sorrow. He understands rejection. He understands grief. He understands what it is to pray through difficult times, even through pain and anguish. Jesus understands. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 4. Leading up to chapter 4 here in the book of Hebrews, the writer has been talking about the rest that God provides his people and the danger of missing that rest through unbelief. And then the writer points us to why we can keep holding on, that we have this high priest now, Jesus Christ, who understands our weaknesses. And he invites us to draw near to God. So Hebrews 4, and we'll begin in verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. And why would we do that? Why would we want to do that? And he answers that right here in the rest of the verse. That we may receive mercy, find grace to help in time of need. We do not have to hide our weariness from Jesus. He understands. He has been through it all. We can come confidently, not because we're strong, not because we have it figured out, not because we are strong enough to make it through whatever it is that we're dealing with, but because he is compassionate and he understands. The moment we feel least able to approach Christ may be the moment we most need to hear him say, come to me. I may not know what to do, but I know where to look. I look to Christ. Our second point, that another thing that God has given us that we can cling to during difficult seasons of life, is God has given us his word to stand on. Emotions, our emotions, are real. They're given to us by God. But not always do our emotions tell us the whole story. When we're going through difficult things, those times in life where our feelings, we maybe feel overwhelmed, our emotions don't always give us the full picture. And it can be like a fog that obscures truth. And that's precisely why God has given us his word. He's given us his unchanging truth that when everything else feels like it's shifting, when our anger is flushing our eyes and our emotions are leading us to make decisions that we know aren't right. We have his scripture to lean on. And more than that, his word is our guide. It is a light in our path so we can see where to step to next. Turn with me to Lamentations in the Old Testament. Lamentations, and we're going to look at chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And this book is written from the very heart of destruction and devastation. To add some context into what we're getting ready to read through, oftentimes it's contributed to Jeremiah as the writer, but what has just happened, Jerusalem has fallen, the temple has been destroyed, and the people are just in disbelief and grief. And here in chapter 3, we find the writer writing from that grief, writing from the uncertainty of what's going to happen next. He has just witnessed Jerusalem, the temple, so much destruction. We're going to start in chapter 3, verse 19. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it, and it is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And these next couple of verses you may recognize because we just sang them. And how beautiful it is that we have scripture that we can come to, that we can refer to, and sing and praise. And so verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Think about the context in which he is writing those words. The loss, the destruction, the possible death. And he's writing, great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah's circumstances did not suddenly change after he penned this. He deliberately calls to mind what he knows to be true about God. And we are so fortunate to have the same opportunity through Scripture to have the truth that God wants us to have. I may not know what to do, but I know where to look. I look into God's word. The third point I would like to bring to your attention is we also have a Father that we can speak to, and we can speak to him through prayer. Prayer is where we lay our burdens down. Prayer does not have to be this polished performance that we only go to prayer when we're certain that we know what we want to say. It doesn't have to be perfect. Prayer is the pouring out of our hearts before God. In Psalm 62, verse 8, it says, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Prayer is not just another burden placed on an exhausted person going through a difficult season of life. Prayer is where we are allowed to lay it all at his feet. Even David asked, how long, Lord? How long do I have to continue asking? How long may I sit in the circumstances that I find myself in? And we're going to read that. So if you will, flip with me to Psalm 13. Psalm 13, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Faith does not mean that we never ask how long. Faith means we keep speaking to God while asking how long. And I'm not speaking this tonight as someone who has figured all of this out. I find myself in a difficult season of life and through a valley, and I'm so thankful that I have people in here that I know love me and support me. And it's been difficult, but I can tell you through seasons of life, God can work in us. He can encourage us. He can strengthen us in many different ways. And I have noticed that I find myself praying more. The prayers have not made things go away, have not changed certain circumstances, but they have reminded me that I'm not alone in my walk and that God is not going to abandon me. In Romans 8:26, we also see here one of the benefits of not knowing what to ask when we go to God in prayer. Jehoshaphat did not know. They had no idea what they needed to do. They said, we do not know what to do, but we look to you. And maybe there's times in your life when you want to pray and you do pray, but you don't even know what to pray for. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Sometimes prayer can just simply be, God, I am tired, I'm exhausted, I'm confused, I'm afraid, I don't know what to do. God welcomes an honest prayer from a broken heart, and we do not need to have the perfected, polished words just to go before our Father in prayer. I may not know what to do, but I know where to look. I look to my Father in prayer. And the last point tonight, as we begin closing, is we also have a family to walk with during these seasons of life. We have people to support us, to pray for us, to encourage us, to be there for us. And as the church, we're called to be a burden-bearing family. Not just a church that sits in the same room once, twice, three times a week, but an active family that loves one another, that will help carry when things get heavy. In Galatians 6, if you will, turn to Galatians 6. We'll be here just for a moment looking at verses 1 and 2. In these short verses, Paul here is talking about a burden, and oftentimes we attribute these burdens as heavy weights, things that maybe we cannot carry alone, that we need support with, whatever that may look like. And here, Paul is assuming two things. Paul is assuming, one, that Christians will have burdens, there's no doubt, and he's also assuming that some burdens will be too heavy to carry alone. And in the immediate context here, Paul is even talking about gently helping someone that is caught in sin. And burden bearing includes emotional and practical support, but it also means helping each other be accountable spiritually. And so let's look at verses 1 and 2 of Galatians 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bearing burdens is what love looks like when love becomes practical. And we see this in Scripture. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Here we see Moses, a faithful servant of God, strong. But even Moses got tired. Even Moses needed support. And Aaron and Hur did not replace God in what they do. And we're going to read this in just a moment. But they supported Moses when he needed it. Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And if you continue in that next verse, it talks about Joseph and the army being victorious, because during this time he had to hold his hands up, and as long as he held his hands up, they would be victorious. But it got to the point where he could no longer do it on his own. They supported him when he could no longer hold it up on his own. Sometimes faithful people become tired. Sometimes strong people need help. Sometimes we need someone to hold up our hands. And I know in this very room today, I'm so fortunate and blessed to have a few people that I know pray for me almost on a daily basis and get a text message. And I cannot tell you the encouragement that that means, to know that I'm loved, that I'm walking through this life not alone. But just because they're praying for me doesn't mean the burdens are going away or diminished. But praying for someone is a perfect example of helping to bear one another's burdens. The church doesn't take the place of God, but God often strengthens us through the prayers, presence, wisdom, generosity, and the love of his people. And oftentimes, people do not always want to announce what they're sharing or what they're going through. And so this is my challenge to you. Sometimes we may feel too embarrassed to share what's going on in our life. Maybe we don't want to feel like we're inconveniencing anyone, or sometimes we're just too overwhelmed. I challenge you to look and notice, to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, and to make a point to be looking for someone that you can help, someone that you can support. But on the other side, we cannot help bear one another's burdens if we're not willing to reveal them. And that doesn't mean telling everyone everything that's going on in your life, but some things do belong or can belong in a trusted circle. I believe every Christian needs trusted believers that they can tell, look, I'm struggling. I need help. I need prayer. I need wisdom. I cannot carry what I'm going through alone. And I just need to share that with you. And can you pray for me? There is humility in helping others, and there is humility in allowing others to help. I may not know what to do, but I know where to look. I look to Christ. I look to his word. I speak to my Father through prayer, and I walk with the family that God has placed by my side. And so as we have looked this evening, God has not left us empty-handed. He has given us so much. And we've just looked at four things. And I'm sure there's many more. I cannot tell you that every problem will disappear quickly. I cannot stand here and tell you that I am completely out of the valley. But I can tell you that God has not abandoned us in it.
and he will not abandon us in it. There is mercy for the weary, grace in your time of need, a father who hears you, and there is a church to walk beside you. And because Jesus is risen, isn't it great that the valley will not have the last word? We've talked a lot about different burdens tonight, but beneath every struggle is our deepest spiritual problem, and that is sin. And that is one burden that we cannot remove ourselves. Our friends cannot remove those burdens. Our family, the church, cannot remove those burdens. But Jesus carried our sins to the cross, and he died. He was buried and rose again, so forgiveness and new life could be ours. And in the book of Acts, Peter is preaching Jesus to a crowd in Jerusalem. He preached Jesus' life, his miracles, his death, his resurrection. And those individuals, when they realize they've made a terrible decision, and they are convicted and they feel shame, they ask a simple question: what do we need to do? How do we make this right? And in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" That answer was not Peter's opinion. He's telling them God's answer. And if you believe Jesus is the Son of God and you are ready to turn away from sin and be baptized into Christ, come to him. And if you're already a Christian but the burden has become too heavy, you don't have to pretend. We're here. Let us be here for you. Let us pray with you. Let your church family walk beside you. You may not know what to do, but you know where to look. Look to Jesus as we stand and sing.
Jesus, Savior, oh.
be singing this song to help prepare those that are going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper, to prepare their hearts and minds.
This morning we spoke of freedom and independence. Ken did a really good job of tying all that together for us this morning. How can we relate that to communion? Communion is a reflection of what our Savior did for us. Through Jesus, his sacrifice, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we can find our independence and our freedom from sin. As we take this communion, let's reflect on what this sacrifice means for us personally. So, look inside yourself as we do this. Think about it, and let's take our communion. So if you want to take the bread, let's pray for that. Father, we come to you tonight. We look inside ourselves, thinking what this bread means to us. The bread which represents the body of Jesus. That was sacrificed for us. He was beaten. He was scorned. He did all this for us so that we could live on after them through him. So as we take this bread, let us do this in a way that is pleasing to you always. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray for the cup as well. Father, we come to you again. This cup, this juice, is a representation of the blood shed for us, for our forgiveness of sins. He did this for us, this sacrifice for us. This is something we should never take lightly. Let us look at ourselves and examine and make sure that we are fully understanding what this sacrifice means to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the conclusion of that part. Let's talk about the next part that we usually do. We usually say that it's not a part. I feel like this is actually a part of us. Let's talk about what we give as we talk about the funds that we use for the church. So pray with me as we go. Father, part of what you give us is a needful heart, a sacrificing heart to help promote your work throughout the world. Ways we can do that is through the offering. We can give parts of us, we can give our talents, we can give our time, but let us look to make sure that we're giving those in accordance to you and how you would want us to do that. So always let us remember that we are here for you and the sacrifice that you did for us and the small sacrifices we make to try to help everyone else understand your word and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go to God in prayer. Wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come to hear your word, to have Billy present it in a way that can soften our hearts, that can have us to do what you want us to do. Help us to stop doing the things you don't want us to do and forgive us for those things that we've done. Help us to forgive others and help us get out of our own heads to not think that we're great or America is great or anything like that, that your son is great. And that is the perspective that we need, that your kingdom is what we're looking forward to. Help us to have that mindset, to love you and to serve you in any means possible. Help us to glorify your name in all the earth and share your word to all people. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are dismissed.